am and what my role is, where the agenda can be found, and how they can enter the call queue. Is that okay with you?
That works for me. Thank you.
Let's turn it over to you. Okay, good.
All right, you ready to begin?
We are.
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I'll set the call live in 3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining the Energy and Balance Market Body at State Regulators Call, also known as the EIM Bosser. My name is Christina Osborne, and I work in Stakeholder Affairs at the California ISO. I'll be helping with the facilitation of the web conference. I do have the agenda posted in the web platform. That can be found on the Western Interstate Energy Board website under the EIM Bosser tab. You just want to select meetings from the left navigation bar. We will be taking questions periodically. If you do have a question, you can raise your hand by pressing #2. And we just like to remind you to please start by providing your name and affiliation. Just to let you know, this call is being recorded, and we will the audio file will be posted on the EIM Bosser website sometime by the end of this week. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the meeting chair, Commissioner Ann Rendall.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Ann Rendall, Washington, and I will say this is a recessed item D1 from the June 15th, 2017 open meeting. And we are here in my office at the commission with Chairman Dave Danner and Commissioner Velazquez, along with Brian Thomas and Amy Andrews and Steve Johnson on the line. This is the first call where we have had the California ISO handle the phone arrangements, the webinar arrangements, so we very much appreciate that. So when I was handling this on our own, I would ask for who was on the call. So at this point, I'm going to ask the operator just to open up the call so that I can hear what commissioners and staff are on the line. So Marvin, is it okay for you to open the line for me to ask by state what commissioners are on the line?
Yes. Did you want to go in any particular order?
I'll start with Arizona.
Okay. If you're in Arizona, please press #2 at this time. All right. Opening that line.
If you are a commissioner or staff from Arizona, please let us know that you're on the line.
Toby Little, staff from Arizona.
Thank you. Commissioner Little, are you on the line? Apparently not. Okay, so now let's go to California.
Okay. So California, please press #2 on your telephone keypad at this time.
Any commissioners or staff from California on the line?
And it doesn't seem that we're getting any raised hands.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to Idaho. Any commissioners or staff from Idaho on the line?
And there's one. I'm going to go ahead and unmute that line.
If you are from Idaho, staff or commissioner, please identify yourself.
Stephen Goodson, the Idaho PUC policy analyst.
Hello, Stephen. Thanks for calling in. Okay, and now move to Oregon. Any commissioners or staff from Oregon, please identify yourself when the line is open.
All right, we have one line. Opening that line.
Welcome.
Yes, this is Lisa Hardy from Oregon.
Hello, Commissioner Hardy. Thank you for calling in. Okay, and we'll move to Nevada.
Ann Pongratz, Commissioner, Nevada.
Hello, Commissioner Pongratz. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Any other staff or commissioners from Nevada? Okay, we'll move to Utah.
that line.
Yeah, this is Jamie Dalton, Commission staff.
Hello, Jamie. How are you?
Well, thank you. I don't know that Jordan's on. I think he's under the weather today.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. Okay. And now I've stated that I am here as well as Chair Danner and Commissioner Blasbus from Washington, so Wyoming. Did I miss any states?
Montana is on my committee, but they're not part of it.
The first line from Wyoming should be open.
Thank you. Any commissioners or staff from Wyoming?
Please be sure that your device is not on mute.
Bill Russell from Wyoming.
Hello, Commissioner Russell. Thank you for joining us. Okay. Well, with
glad
that,
to be here.
With that, we will move on to the rest of the agenda, and we will be muting the lines now and unmuting them for discussion at a later point. So the first thing on our agenda is to talk about the upcoming meetings. There is an EIM governing body meeting scheduled for July 13th in Folsom. I will be calling in and representing the body of state regulators by phone in that meeting. And Peter Colusi can fill us in after I go through the list of calls as to what is scheduled to be on that call. We also have our next body of state regulators meeting by phone on August 21st. We have a governing body meeting here in Seattle on September 6th, and probably at the next call we will give details as to the exact location for that meeting and an agenda. I'm sure the ISO will be working on that with the governing body. And then we have a body of state regulators call again on September 25th. So at this point, I guess, Peter, if you could unmute yourself and let us know what is scheduled for the July 13th governing body meeting.
Well, sure. I thank you. And I do apologize. I am here at the airport, so I'm going to try and mute it in and out as much as possible. So what we have going today for the July 13th meeting that is scheduled, we do not have any items that are considered primary decisional for the EIM governing body. However, we do have a few items that are advisory, and Brian's going to fill you in on a couple of those that we discussed with the Staff Advisory Council or committee shortly. But we have the Energy Storage and Distributed Energy Resources Phase 2. And then the second one is going to be the Gas Constraint Operational Tool, which has had a name change to the Aliso Canyon Gas Electric Coordination Phase 3 proposal. I did want to note for everyone's edification here that originally this proposal was a little bit different. In this most recent draft, the ISO has stated that the entire initiative, we thought it was initially going to be an all advisor for the EIM governing body, but now we're going to actually go in and we're going to separate the initiative for decisional purposes, and we're going to give the EIM governing body primary authority for the element of this initiative that proposes to allow an EIM entity to implement a gas constraint in its balancing area. The remainder of the initiative will involve the EIM governing body's advisory role to the Board of Governors.
To clarify, I'm sorry, but so when you say so on the July 13 meeting, there is going to be a primary issue on the gas constraint with the Aliso Canyon issue?
That is correct. So it has all come together under a single umbrella, but they're going to, for decisional purposes, this gas constraint tool was requested by some of the EIM entities that also experience issues at times with natural gas, and they would like the same ask for the same sort of functionality to be extended to them that we implemented as a mitigation measure for the Aliso Canyon concern. And there are some other components that are in the rest of the initiative that would still fall under the advisory opinion of the EIM governing body to the Board of Governors.
Thank you.
And then additionally, we did have the generator contingency and remedial action scheme modeling. However, our policy team has tentatively moved that to take place hopefully at the September meeting. And then we have some informational items that are going to be coming as well. The first is going to be, they'll have the quarter two EIM benefits, I believe. That should be ready by that time, as well as an update on the EIM greenhouse gas enhancements that we're taking a look at. And then we will also be providing a policy outlook, the quarterly briefing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, and Amy advises me that Commissioner White from Utah and Commissioner Little from Arizona are also on the line now, so I'm glad to have you on the line. So now I'm going to turn over to Brian so he can fill us in on discussions at the EIM Staff Advisory Committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. I'm happy to provide a report on the activities of the Staff Advisory Committee's work over the last couple of months. Since the last time I provided a report, the committees met twice, May 15th and June 12th. Both of the committee calls were fairly well attended, with representation from the Washington staff, as well as my colleagues from Arizona, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, and Utah in particular. We were also joined by Peter Colucci from CAISO, who's on the line here today, who he'll be joining all of our calls going forward as we discuss initiatives. The committee determined that it would be good to have Peter on to help answer questions or to clear up items, questions that we might have on various matters from time to time. So he's going to be a standing participant unless we need to discuss something in sort of executive session for any reason. So having said that, let me turn to the details of our recent work. As you know, the primary focus of our calls are to discuss pending CAISO policy initiatives that may affect the EIM in ways that matter to state agencies. We give a particular focus on things that affect state commissions that have regulatory authority over entities that are currently in the EIM or are thinking about joining. And so over the past two calls, we've focused on two initiatives. The first is the EIM Greenhouse Gas Compliance Initiative. And then the other, as Peter mentioned, is Phase 2 of the Energy Storage and Distributed Energy Resource Initiative. Let me talk about each of those quickly and give you staff's current assessment of them and a position of any we think that the body of state regulators should take before the EIM governing body whenever they're brought to the board for action. So the first one is the EIM GHG Compliance Initiative. This initiative was launched in 2016 and has gone through a lengthy CAISO stakeholder process eventually led to the release of a draft final proposal on May 24th of this year. I'm not going to go into all the specifics of the proposal due to its complexity, but I will note generally that CAISO is looking to design and then implement market enhancements to account for emissions from secondary dispatch in a way that allows the California Air Resources Board to track California overall emissions without adversely affecting EIM operations outside of California. On our May 15th call, staff received a presentation from Andrew Ulmer, who's the Director of Fed Regulatory Affairs at CAISO, on the GHG initiative. Because imbalanced energy is imported into California to serve California load, ARB applies its greenhouse gas regulations to the imported electricity. The regulations are intended to capture the overall effect of greenhouse gas emissions due to the implementation of imbalanced energy into California, regardless of where the emissions occur. To capture the overall effect on emissions, ARB's regulations have two parts that apply to GHG within the EIM. The first part, which is already in place, is the process under which CAISO provides a market mechanism for enforcement of GHG emission compliance for imbalanced energy imported into California. That process has been in place for a couple of years now and appears to be working with little controversy. The second part addresses an issue identified by ARB and other stakeholders, They are concerned that CAISO's current EIM market optimization process does not adequately account for all of the emissions associated with secondary or backfill dispatch. Dispatch that occurs to serve low EIM load outside of the ISO as a result of importing imbalanced energy from specifically identified EIM resources. So to address this concern, CAISO is working in collaboration with the ARB and stakeholders to address proposed amendments to ARB regulations by implementing a market performance solution using a two-pass optimization approach. Boy, that's a mouthful. The CAISO presentation that we received on this new market optimization process is basically the same presentation that all of you received from CAISO during your May 30th Body of State Regulators meeting. Subsequent to the staff committee call and the Body of State Regulators presentation, CAISO conducted a stakeholder call on June 22nd to discuss a revised draft final proposal, which may have some additional changes. That proposal, I believe, was released this morning and will be the subject of comment. Comments on that are due July 6th. The matter will be briefed before the EIM governing body during its July 13th meeting and the Board of Governors meeting July 26th to 27th. I believe CAISO intends to present the matter for final consideration by both bodies in the first quarter of 2018. The Staff Advisory Committee has reviewed and discussed the GHG initiative and generally believes it is a sensible first step to enable tracking of GHG emissions associated with backfill or secondary dispatch. We note that the initiative does raise important policy questions regarding the potential effects of California environmental regulations on the prices and revenues of out-of-state participants in the EIM market. Based on our calls, I can report that staff does not have a formal position or recommendation on the initiative at this point in time. However, the committee agreed it will continue to discuss the potential effects of implementation of the initiative and bring forth additional feedback to the body of state regulators as may be necessary. The second initiative that we talked about is phase two of the Energy Storage and Distributed Energy Resource Initiative. For several years now, CAISO has been examining ways to facilitate energy storage and distributed energy resources into CAISO's centralized wholesale market. The initiative was launched in 2015 and is being conducted in phases. Phase one was the initial effort by CAISO to address integration of non-generating resources and to model demand response into the CAISO market. That phase concluded in 2016. Phase two began in May of last year and builds upon the work accomplished in phase one by exploring additional market enhancements to facilitate market participation of energy storage and distributed energy resources. On June 18th of this year, after a lengthy stakeholder process, CAISO released a draft final proposal for phase two that it intends to bring before the EIM governing body next month and to the Board of Governors at the end of next month. My understanding is that this initiative is a secondary EIM issue, which means that the governing body's view will be advisory to the CAISO Board of Governors eventually. Overall, this phase of the initiative addresses three distinct centralized market modifications that are intended to lower barriers and enhance the ability of energy storage and distributed connected resources to participate in the CAISO market. The number and diversity of these resources are growing and represent an increasingly important part of the resource mix. The first of the three market modifications is aimed at creating a distinction between charging energy and station power. Charging energy is energy used to charge a battery for later discharge. Station power is power pulled from the grid that is used to support a generation plant's operation. One of the current concerns to be resolved in the initiative is that incompatible retail and wholesale station power rules could result in the same energy incurring both wholesale and retail charges. In the draft final proposal, CAISO has recognized that it does not have jurisdiction to define retail service, so CAISO proposes to work with local stakeholders, including local regulatory authorities, to develop a new definition of station power that helps prevent duplicative charges. Under the proposed modifications, generation resources interconnecting to the CAISO will work with their retail energy provider to ensure that their metering configurations accurately account for station power as required by local regulatory authorities. KAISO will reflect such metering in its network modeling and market operation. The staff committee understands there is wide stakeholder support for the approach that KAISO is proposing. The second market modification pertains to demand response for dispatch in the centralized market. Currently, KAISO performs a net benefits test to determine the selection of DR in its market optimization run. The result of that test is dependent in significant part on the price of natural gas. Currently, the KAISO tariff governing market design only uses California natural gas price indices as an input to the net benefits test it conducts for demand response dispatch. Under the proposed market modification, KAISO will remove the reference to the California gas prices and use a simple average of gas price indices from gas pricing hubs throughout the EIM for EIM market optimization. Once this approach is approved, KAISO will select the gas trading hubs used for the gas price indices as part of its business practices manual rather than its tariff. The use of natural gas price indices that are closer to the location of the DR bidding into an EIM is a clear improvement. Like the previous modification, staff does not view KAISO's proposal as controversial, and there appears to be broad stakeholder support for it. The final modification pertains to how KAISO addresses demand response in its market optimization. In order to evaluate demand response resources in the market, KAISO must understand how much a DR resource can increase or decrease energy demand. To do this, KAISO must have a means of establishing how much energy would be used without calling on the demand response resource. In short, it must establish a baseline. It also needs this baseline for settlement purposes to calculate the delta between the energy demand without the DR resource and the energy demand after the DR resource is called upon. To develop potential baselines, KAISO established a baseline analysis working group consisting of a number of stakeholders that identified three baseline methodologies that could be utilized. The three methodologies are a control group baseline, which is a sample of non-participating customers who have similar load patterns and experience the same weather patterns and conditions as the provider selected for DR purposes. A day matching baseline method, which provides a baseline estimates of what electricity use would have been in the absence of DR dispatch. And a weather matching baseline methodology, which provides baseline estimates of what electricity use or load patterns would be using the most similar weather conditions for days in which DR was not dispatched. The group concluded that the control group baseline method would yield the most accurate and unbiased estimates. However, there was wide support for including the other methods. So that's a mouthful. Let me step back from the details and shift to a more global perspective on all of the work undertaken by KAISO in Phase 2. On its June 12th call, the Staff Advisory Committee voted to support the draft final proposal because, in the committee's view, it is a reasonable incremental step that will improve the ability of energy storage and DR resources to participation in the KAISO market by more accurately assessing DR contribution and avoiding redundant charges assessed on energy storage. From an overall perspective, we view the individual market modifications as common sense, non-controversial proposals that will help facilitate inclusion of energy storage and demand response into the EIM market process. So our committee recommends that the body of state regulators support the draft final proposal. So that's it, and I can answer questions, and Steve can as well.
Okay, well, thank you, Brian. So before we hear from Peter about the three EIM stakeholder initiatives that have been consolidated to go forward as separately from what Brian just discussed, it looks like the only thing that the body of state regulators would be moving forward with as a possible recommendation at the July 13 meeting would be on this energy storage and distributed energy resources phase two initiative. So I'm going to ask the operator to open the lines to see if anyone has questions for Brian or for Steve
or anybody else,
any other staff who are on the committee who has questions and the commissioners have questions about these initiatives. As we will after this call, we'll circulate the staff recommendation for you all to consider, and then we can take it forward. So, Marvin, if you wouldn't mind opening the lines.
So just as a reminder, please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad if you have a question at this time. And we don't seem to be receiving any questions at this moment.
Okay. Well, thank you. I guess I would advise you to, if you do have questions after the call, reach out to your staff who are working this issue. And actually, there's a question here in the room, and he's just raised his hand, so I'm going to call on Chair Danner.
Hi, this is Dave Danner. I have a question. This is probably for Peter. The May 24th draft proposal on the GHD compliance mechanism or initiative, what is the schedule? You put it out for comment, when are you looking to hear, and what have you heard so far?
Well, this is Peter. Thanks for that question. So we just actually held another stakeholder call last week on some revisions that they had, and we've just posted an additional draft final proposal on some of these issues on Friday of last week. At this time, that's open in soliciting comments. And you know what? I'm just trying to look it up as we're talking.
July 6th.
Get that calendar in front of me.
No.
About when we're looking to have the comment due date.
Okay. Brian says it's still
July 6th.
July 6th.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not looking for final action until first quarter of next year.
So,
that is
Peter, are you likely to have a... another stakeholder opportunity between when the time you get comments in, you're expecting to have another, maybe a final proposal in the fall for review?
That is. So we're coming up with a couple of different solutions that we're working on right now. We're going to put those into some parallel operations and see that the outcome of what we're proposing in our solution is in alignment with what the Air Resources Board regulations need us to do. And so that's why there's this big period of time between now and when we're actually going to go for a decisional from the board and the governing body next year. Also at the same time is the ARB has not completely finalized all of its rulemaking process. So we're still participating in that. We're offering suggestions, and our policy team is working hand in hand with the Air Resources Board as we look to develop the solution. So that's why there's a little bit of ambiguity right now at this time in this space.
Thank you. So I wanted to let you all know that I've gotten an email that Commissioner Concilia from Colorado is on the line, and Commissioner Picker of President Picker from California is also on the line. So sorry if we haven't circled back again. We're using the California ISO system compared to our conference call system. So,
We do have one raised hand on the line.
Okay, please go ahead.
All right, caller, your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hi, Anna. It's Jordan White from Utah. Just following up on Dave Danner's question. So just to be clear, if there's any input from the BOSTER folks to be given to the governing body, I guess that's going to be kind of to be determined whether it's July 13th or a later date when we actually kind of have a... I mean, I know that there's opportunities for written comments, et cetera, on the schedule, but do you have a suggestion or idea of when there'd actually be kind of a discourse with the governing body folks on, in particular, the GHC issue?
I guess I'm going to defer that to Peter, but my understanding was that we would be waiting until there was a more formal proposal after the ISO had an opportunity to test this, as Peter suggested. Now, we did have an opportunity to hear from the ISO about the greenhouse gas discussions and an initial proposal. I believe it was in our May meeting. But if you think it would be beneficial to have another discussion, it is going to be discussed at the July 13 meeting in Folsom. This is really for the governing body members, and we are all. I'm sure it will be discussed. Correct me if I'm wrong, Peter. In an open session, and then that we would have an opportunity to make public comment if any of the commissioners felt it was important to do that, but. So at this point, that's what's planned.
Commissioner Reynolds, if I may, This is Peter. I'd like to offer, this is still an open and an active stakeholder process for us. So to be honest, what would really benefit us, if there's points of concern, there's stuff that's coming up from any of your staff members, if you could submit those into written comments as part of the stakeholder process, our policy team can go ahead and integrate most of those that feedback right now as we're looking to develop the final proposal. By the time that this would be decisional for the EIM governing body, most of the process would theoretically be pretty wrapped up, where we pretty much vetted this through a lot of activities, we've received all the stakeholders' comments. So instead of waiting till that point, the earlier that we could get you involved or get you more education, probably the better, and we definitely would appreciate hearing from you.
So that would be the July 6th comment period?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so Mr. White, in response to your question, if any state or if the body of state regulators has comments, they should be submitted by July 6th. So maybe what I will do is circulate an email and ask if there would be agreement. At this point, I'm thinking that each state may have a different perspective on this particular topic, and it may be beneficial for each state, if they do have thoughts, to submit them directly.
Thank you.
I do want to let you all know that it's possible that at the end of this week, on Friday, if we do not have a state budget, you will not be hearing from us as we will be shut down. So if you get a message back from us saying we're all temporarily laid off, then that's a distinct possibility at this point. But we will circulate materials for all of you before Friday on this, and you may have to communicate among yourselves. Okay, so now I'm going to turn it over to Peter to talk about consolidation of three EIM stakeholder initiatives.
Thank you, Commissioner. So what we have gone ahead and done here is, with the consolidated EIM initiative, we couldn't have picked an easier name for this. But we took some points that came out of the HERC technical conference that was there last year, and in an effort to streamline this process for EIM entities and stakeholders, they put this under a single umbrella. They're doing this just to make it easier for comment deadlines and submissions so that it doesn't get as redundant with what we found. Importantly, I want to point out, though, that we do have a kind of a target date set that we're aiming for, but because of the individual nature of a lot of these policy initiatives, it is possible for us to peel them off, if you will, and have them go for decisional guidance at different points in time. At this point, where we started is we're just in the issue paper stage. And that's where our policy team has gotten together. We've gone through some of the feedback that we've heard, and we've published an issue paper looking for feedback from a lot of the stakeholders to help us figure out exactly what the issues are, get to the root cause of some of that that we're looking to address. So the three items that are part of this stakeholder process is the third-party transmission contribution. We have the management of bilateral schedule changes, and then we have the concept of a net wheeling charge. We held our first stakeholder call on this last week where we were just kind of putting these ideas out there, getting feedback from stakeholders in the verbal sense. And we have requested that anyone who has any comments submit those by the 30th of this month for us to take part in that stakeholder process. So these cover items such as, you know, other third-party entities making transmission available between different EIM BAAs to increase the transfer capability. Some of it is looking at different components that'll hedge congestion so that there's less opportunity for congestion between base schedule submission and the WEC scheduling deadline of 20 minutes prior to the hour. And then the net wheeling is looking at if for those entities that facilitate EIM transactions, but they don't actually buy or sell any of that power, but they just supply the wires that enables that transaction, do they need to look at some sort of a compensation mechanism to take a look at that? So the issue paper was out, like I said, on the 13th, that's located on our ISO website. We're going to be moving forward, and so I'm just scheduling down here to the calendar of events. We've got the stakeholder input. We're looking for comments by the 30th. If everything goes according to plan, we're going to aim for possibly an October EIM governing body meeting. But like I said, that's kind of going to depend on what sort of written feedback we get at the end of this week and what that looks like going forward. But that's where we're at on this one. I wanted to point out this is our first EIM primary authority decisional item for the EIM governing body, other than any of the administrative items that they've had. So this is going to be kind of a putting everything through for the first time from start to finish.
Thank you, Peter. Are there any questions for Peter on this on the consolidated initiatives?
And again, as a reminder, you can ask a question by pressing pound 2 on your telephone keypad. And we don't seem to be receiving any questions at this time.
So I do have one question for you, Peter, and it's more about coordinating this with our future meetings. So the schedule for this initiative, the stakeholder process, would be you had the call last week. Comments are due on Friday on the issue paper, and then there will be a straw proposal that's issued in July. So it's possible that at our the comments are due on August 15th. So if we were wanting to file comments by the body of state regulators, we would need to do something offline or possibly coordinate with the staff committee. So that we will talk offline about if this is something that the body of state regulators wishes to weigh in on. We'll have to consult with our staff and see what their thoughts are. Again, we're going to be possibly shut down on Friday, so I doubt we'll be filing individual comments. But so I'll just let all the other members know that we will probably do some email around to see how we want to approach this after consulting with our staff. Brian, do you want to weigh in?
Well, this is Brian. We don't. Our next staff call is August 6th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So but we'd have to do something sort of offline, which is fine. We can at least poll people to see the level of interest.
Okay. Well, there's a stakeholder meeting on August 3rd. And then written comments are due August 15th. So it's possible that we could make that work. And I guess we'll see who among the staff can monitor the stakeholder meeting to see what we'll do. So we'll defer that to the staff committee. So I took Peter out of order and had him go over the agenda first. So we've already taken care of that. And I guess I would just, again, open up the line if it's not still open. If there are any final thoughts by the members of the body of state regulators.
All right. And you can ask a question by pressing pound 2 on your telephone keypad.
Okay. And just
I'm not currently seeing any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Looking ahead, we will be reaching out to all of you to ask you about topics you would like to discuss that will be at our in-person meeting, which will be in conjunction with the CREPSI meetings in Reno in October, in mid-October. And that is one of our in-person meetings during the year. So we'll make sure to, if you haven't received the information from Maury Galbraith about the CREPSI meetings yet, I will forward you the date and time of when our in-person meeting is tentatively scheduled, so you can go ahead and put that into your planning, and we can talk about what our topics are we want to discuss. So with that, I think we are done with our body of state regulator meeting, and then this will be we will be adjourning our June 15 open meeting. Thank you very much.